And we've got a visitor with us, Mr. Steve Metcalf. Is that right? Okay. And he's Leroy's calling him the prodigal son. He's Judy, Leroy's first wife, if you remember. He's her son, and he's been coming off and on since he was 3 years old. So welcome back. Okay. All right. It's good to see everyone this morning, and you know, it's been, we put up with a lot of rain and heat, but God's good. He knows what we need when we need it. And even though we may not think that way, but the Lord does, He knows. So I was telling CL there a few minutes ago, just give it time and it'll pass. So hopefully the weather will get a little cooler and a little drier here in the week or two. So it's good to see you, and I've talked to a few people this morning. I know Miss Debbie Deakins has had 5 days of chemo this week, so she's weak. If you would remember her in prayer, and she's got 5 more days next week, so that really pulls their energy and strength from them. So pray for Debbie. Also, Leslie Farmer had her treatment this past week, and it'll be a few weeks before we know if that was successful or not. So remember Leslie and Wade as they continue to go through this journey, and just keep them in your prayers. Also, I'd like to wish our condolences to Bob Daniels' family, his wife Sheila. We had that. Bob's going home this week, and it was a sweet service, and Bob was so faithful. He loved the Lord. He loved their children. He loved to work in the puppet ministry, and, you know, folks like that, when they're gone, we have a void there, and so we just pray that God will help us to have someone that'll step in where Bob was. So remember them. And I'm going to go ahead and say happy birthday this week. We've got some birthdays coming up. Kayla DeGroat, she's not here this morning, but happy birthday to her on the 22nd. And then Frances Lawson is having her birthday. She'll be 93 on the 26th. And then Philip Talbert. Going to have a birthday, so happy birthday, Philip, next Sunday, okay? All right. Anniversaries this week is Danny and Sharon Copas, and they're not here this morning, but happy anniversary to them. So let's go ahead and talk about some things that are coming up. We've got the 7:30 p.m. meeting after the service there tonight on Amazing Grace information and interest meeting. So if you're interested in working at the fair, either in the Amazing Grace booth, I think that's the only one they listed for tonight. So if you're working in that or want to work in that, you can go to this meeting tonight. Next Sunday, we're going to have, after the service, we're going to have Back to School with Matt Morrison in the PM service. And then on, Wednesday, July the 30th, we're going to have Benjamin Clayton Family Fellowship. Pastor Herman won't be doing that, but Benjamin will be here. So you'll enjoy that, I'm sure. And then for you ladies, there'll be the ladies' prayer walk on the back-to-school prayer for the children on July 31st. And it's from 7 to 8 p.m. here in the auditorium. So y'all remember these things, things that are coming up over the next few days. Oh, yeah, and I forgot, I better mention the golf. Now, I don't play golf. But I better mention that because a lot of people do play golf. And We've got the men's golf tournament on August the 16th. So all of these things have sign-ups out here in the foyer for the Amazing Grace booth, the men's golf tournament, and some other things. So that's the announcements I have. As far as prayer requests, we're still praying for Lee and Constant. As far as I know now, I haven't heard that they've been able to get her off of the ventilator. As far as I know, she's still on it. And so keep her in prayer. And then we're still praying for Frances Lawson. She's over there in rehab, but she's doing good. We saw her earlier this week, and she's working hard to get to walk again on that leg that she broke, her hip. And so pray for her. And then Shirley and I, our daughter-in-law for our youngest son there, her name is Megan Jenkins, and she had a stroke Friday night. We had been to a little incident, a play that our granddaughter had, and she came home and ate some pizza and stuff, and then the stroke hit her. So we spent a lot of time at the hospital over the weekend. Just pray for her that she's only 35, and you know, she has paralysis on the right side. Yeah. So praying for her, and we appreciate those prayers. Is there anyone else that has something they'd like to pray about, or a praise or anything? Okay. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. And remember these requests. There's a lot of people on this list, a lot of people that's suffering with cancer. There's people on here that's got a lot of unspoken requests, but God knows those. And so just pray for them too. Father, we do thank you for this day. We thank you for the privilege to be in your house. God, just to come and worship and just to realize that you're in control. It doesn't matter. And Lord, though things happen to us, Lord, even though these valleys come, you help us to grow when these valleys do come, Lord. And I pray that you will give us your strength, your help during this time. And I pray for each one on this list, God, that you'll touch them, help them, and Lord, have your will and way in their lives. Father, we thank you again for your love for us, for shedding your blood, and Lord, going to that cross for us, dear God, because you loved us. Bless Brother Philip as he comes and teaches to us this morning. God, we pray you'll give him that word, Lord, that you want us to hear. And then bless our pastor at 11 o'clock. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Well, I have set out to teach the book of James with a fair degree of trepidation. You know what trepidation is? Trembling. The reason for that trepidation is that James is not an easy book to understand at times. There are some difficult things that are going to be coming up. And a subject that is obscure many times requires a rather involved explanation. You have to understand something else. To understand this, you have to understand this, to have to understand this before you can get to that point. So some of those are coming up. And so I will do my best to continue to study, to show myself approved unto God, and I hope he will approve. That's what's important, amen? As we study, that he approves the conclusions that we come to. And so I will continue to study and hopefully rightly divide the word of truth. But occasionally, I'd like to step away from James and to talk about things that might come up incidentally in our discussion of James, or things that might clear up an understanding of some things in the scripture. And that's what I'd like to do today. So occasionally, I will stop our study of James. I should be able to get it all done today, what I'd like to talk about. And maybe it'll clear up some verses that maybe you've had a little difficulty saying, gosh, how do you interpret that? And so we were in a passage of scripture in Colossians 2 and verse 11, if you want to turn there, and we'll just read that verse real quick. And I read from 11 down to verse 14 because I wanted to emphasize, I read the whole passage, I wanted to emphasize the blotting out of ordinances that was against us, if you remember all that. I know it's difficult. We talk about a lot of different things, and it's hard to keep them all straight. But I started off in verse 11, and I got to thinking about this, and I thought, you know, this has some bearing on our Christianity. And I'll read the verse, and then we'll go to the Old Testament and look at some things. In whom also ye are circumcised without hands. Circumcised with the circumcision made without hands in the putting off of the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Circumcision certainly has some bearing on our understanding of our salvation. We were not aware of it at the time that we were saved, but there were certain things that happened to us, whether we knew it or not, there were certain things that happened to us the moment we got saved. This is one of them. And the Bible is an amazing book, just incredible. I love the Bible. I think you guys know that. It's the love of my life. I wish I understood it better, and I wish I loved my Savior better. We all do, don't we? Of all this wonderful book, Genesis is probably the most amazing book of this amazing book. Without Genesis, we could not even understand the origin of the cosmos. We could not understand the origin of life, both plant and animal. We could not understand the distinction of man from all other creatures. We would not understand the sad reason for the awful condition that we're in today. Without Genesis, we would not understand any of those things. We wouldn't understand the fossil record or all this oil and coal that's in the ground without an understanding of Genesis and the flood. All of that happened. By the way, if you remember your history, when they were first discovering oil, this is one of those things that demonstrates a young earth. When we were first tapping oil, and all of those reserves were not miles into the ground or in the sea, they were very close to the surface. And what did they call them? Gushers. Why? Because they were under pressure. Now, folks, evolutionists say that those things have been in the ground for millions of years. Well, there's no way that they could have retained that amount of pressure to gush out of the ground the moment they were tapped if they had been there for millions of years. That stuff only happened a couple of thousand years ago. Anyway, we wouldn't understand those things without Genesis. Amen? The fossil record, the presence of oil, and the coal deposits are a result of the flood. But in this amazing book, is probably one of the, there is a chapter that is probably the most amazing chapter in an amazing book. Let's turn there. And I want you to put your finger in three passages, if you would. Go to Genesis chapter 15. And if you would, put your finger in Galatians chapter 3. And then we'll also go to Romans chapter 4. Because what we're going to talk about is the purpose of circumcision, what God intended by this, and what he was trying to demonstrate that applies to us here in the New Testament. So if you're there, if you got your finger in all of those, Genesis chapter 15, and we'll go from Genesis 15, 4 and 6, 8, 12, 7 and 18, and we'll look in, I hope I got it here. Genesis 17, 2. In my understanding of Genesis, we have 15, 17, 16 is a kind of parenthesis. This is Hagar and Ishmael and all of that horrible failure of Sarah and Moses because they weren't having a child and they invented this scheme to have a baby. It's awful what happened there, and it's caused problems ever since. But 15 and 17 go together. So let's look. Genesis chapter 15 and verse 4. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, Abraham, saying, This shall not be thine heir. He's talking about Eliezer, his servant, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. Now notice what he does. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord and he counted it to him for righteousness. Now, before I just talk about that a little bit, let's jump down to verse 8. And he said, Lord, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said unto him, Take me an heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all these and divided them in the midst and laid each piece one against the other. But the birds divided he not. I wish I had more understanding on these sacrifices, but there you have it. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abraham drove them away. If you understand a little bit about fowls and their evil, look in Matthew chapter 13. We'll talk about that later. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, an aura of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abraham, Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a strange land. So he's talking about what will happen to his earthly family before that happens. Verse 14, And also that nation whom thou shalt serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with a great substance, and thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. So he's not going to see any of this. There's something going on here that he will not see. This is Hebrews chapter 11. He says these did not receive the promises, but they were reserved for us. So he would not see all of these things. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come after. Shall come hither, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. And it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. And the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, Unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. Now, before we discuss this a little bit, let's get what all of this is referring to in Galatians chapter 3. If you would turn to that now with your finger, Galatians chapter 3 and verse 16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. We just read that, correct? The Holy Spirit is going to explain to us what happened back then. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Okay, now have you got in your mind what happened with Abraham back there? Okay. But as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that he made back there, that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. And we go on, for if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promises. So God promised some things to Abraham in a covenant when he took him to look at those stars, and when Abraham said, how will this be? And this amazing sacrifice and the smoking furnace and the burning lamp, all of that was a picture of the covenant that God made in Christ. Now, if we drop back to Galatians chapter 3 and verse 8, and the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith. That's you and me, amen? He would justify the heathen. So what was happening back there in that incredible Genesis chapter 15 is God was foretelling that he would save the heathen, you and me, by faith, through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of the of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. So, if we go back to Genesis, you still got your finger there. So this explains all of this. Oh, no, 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 no. Let's go to Romans chapter 4 first. And we'll see if we can tie all this together. I am so sorry for my drippy throat. Romans chapter 4 and verse 19. And being not weak in faith. Now, this is the same scene. It's talking again from Romans chapter 4 all the way back to Genesis chapter 15. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Neither one of them could reproduce. It was impossible. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now, I want you to think about all of those passages of Scripture, and in your mind, what was he believing? Now, let's go back to Genesis 15 again and verse 4. You got your finger there? And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. Okay, so he's going to have a child, correct? But this is the gospel that is being preached to him. This isn't just Isaac. Notice, and he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. So this is what he believed. This is the gospel. From his body, a heavenly seed would come. It wasn't just his child. What he believed that, and what God was telling him, that from heaven would come through you a Savior for the whole world. So he did not believe that God was going to give him a son, Isaac. What is staggering, he said he staggered not at the promise that through his seed would come a heavenly person that would save everyone. Now, I don't mean universally, whoever was going to be saved would come through him. Now, he said, how can this be? So he staggered not at this promise. He said, through my From my bowels will come a heavenly seed. Because you remember in Galatians, what did he say? He said, and not of seeds many, but of one, even Christ. He was telling him about the Lord Jesus Christ who would come through his body to save the heathen, you and me. He said, well, how can this be? And we come back to verse 8. And he said, Lord, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said unto him, we're talking about the promises now, this is how it would happen. And he said unto him, take me a heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all these, and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against the other, but the birds he divided not. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, a horror of great darkness fell on him. What is this horror of great darkness? As we go on, verse 17, and it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed through those pieces. Now, you remember from Galatians 3, it said, the scriptures foreseeing these things preached the gospel unto him. And so he tells him of a heavenly person that will come down. And he says, how will it be? He requires of him to make a sacrifice. And when he falls asleep, a horror of great darkness falls upon him. And he sees a smoking furnace passing between that sacrifice. Now, folks, that is a picture of the judgment that God brought upon the Lord Jesus Christ in his great sacrifice. And then it says, and a burning lamp, the only light that God will give to that world that he wants to save is this sacrifice. This is all a picture. This is the gospel that God is preaching to Abraham. A heavenly person will come, and he will be judged by God through sacrifice and a burning lamp to the whole world. This is the light of the gospel that should shine. We see it right here. This is the gospel. So this is what he believed. He wasn't believing that he would get a son, Isaac. That's not the staggering thing that he was required to believe. He was seeing the gospel in a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ who would come through his bowels, but he was a heavenly seed that would come down from heaven, look to the stars, and that person would save the world through a sacrifice and the judgment of God and the light that would come through that. Okay, so that's what Abraham believed. That's staggering, is it not? He staggered not at the promises of God. This incredible gospel that was preached to him, he believed, and the minute he believed it, God imputed it to him for righteousness. And every person that sees his own sinful death, you and I are dead in trespasses and sin. I'm getting to circumcision here in a minute. Dead in trespasses and sin. When we in our deadness of our flesh, deadness in trespasses and sins, see that same person who came from heaven and accept that sacrifice and the light of that gospel truth, and we turn to that person, guess what God does to us? We become the sons of Abraham. It is the same faith that Abraham had in that gospel. He was looking forward to it. You and I are looking back. But I haven't seen it. I receive it by promise, just like Abraham did. Amen? Now, what happened to Abraham when he believed that? Genesis chapter 17 and verse number 9. So God here made a covenant. That covenant, according to Galatians chapter 3, The covenant of God in Christ. So what we're seeing back there in a picture is the Lord Jesus Christ and God making a covenant with whoever would believe this gospel truth, and he would impute righteousness to them just like he did to Abraham. Verse 9, chapter 17. And God said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, thou and thy seed after thee and their generations. This is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you, and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised. And ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. Now notice, circumcision is not the covenant. It's a token, a type of the covenant. It was to be done on the eighth day. Now, are you all familiar with numerology in Scripture? I don't go as far as some people, but eight is the number of new things, correct? We have seventh day tribulation. We have 7 weeks. The Bible says that a short work will the Lord do in the earth, and 1,000 years is as a day, and a year is as a day is as 1,000 years. We have only come about 6 days according to that. It's a short work. For us, it's 6,000 years we've been waiting for the Lord to come back. But in God's eyes, it's only been about 6 days. Amen? On that seventh day is going to be the millennium, correct? The seventh day, the 7,000 years. What happens after the millennium? On that eighth day, a new heavens and a new earth. So Abraham, to all of their male children had to be circumcised the eighth day as a testimony that this is a new beginning. Every time they circumcised a child, it should have reminded them of what happened to Abraham and the faith that brought him imputed righteousness. But the devil deceived them, correct? And they began to think that they had to be circumcised to go to heaven. It was a problem in the early church. And it was in their flesh. Why was this covenant established in their flesh? Because it's irrevocable. You can't uncircumcise somebody. God could no more go back on that covenant than Abraham could be uncircumcised. It is irrevocable. Now, folks, that's a comfort to you and me. Amen? When you and I heard the gospel that the Lord Jesus Christ from heaven came down to earth and he, through sacrifice, was judged of God, and we saw that light just like Abraham, that righteousness that he gave us is irrevocable. It's a covenant that he will never break. Now, let's go to Colossians chapter 2. That circumcision was a type of the true circumcision in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 11. In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in the putting off of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. How in the world does this happen? Notice with me Hebrews chapter 4. It's a familiar scripture. And I must hurry. Hebrews chapter 4 says this, verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. When you and I got saved, that the Holy Spirit of God, because it's a circumcision made without hands in the putting off of the sins of the flesh, He took the word of God, that quick, powerful, two-edged sword, and he pierced even to the dividing asunder of our soul and spirit. The putting off of the sins of the body. This, when that happened, Ephesians, and I'll go through these fast, Ephesians 2, verse 6, and you can write them down, look at them later, and hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The minute you and I got saved, the Holy Spirit of God did a mighty work through the Word of God in piercing and dividing asunder our soul from our spirit, and he placed us by that Spirit in Christ. And right now, this very minute, spiritually, I am seated in heavenly places with Christ. Not only that, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. And this might have caused you problems at some time. Behold, all things have become new. Now, wait a minute, folks. I don't know about you, but I'm still beset by sin. I still have the problem of being drawn away of my own lust. I still have problems with evil emotions. How is it all things have become new? Only because when you and I were saved, this circumcision made without hands, we were divided asunder between our spirit and soul. We were taken and put into Christ. We are seated in heavenly places. And I spiritually was completely made into a new creature. Not my soul, not my body, but my spirit. All things have become new. As a matter of fact, if you go back to Colossians chapter 2, one verse before verse 11, it says this, "And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." Folks, spiritually, you and I are absolutely complete in Christ. Now, my soul has yet to catch up with that, and my body won't catch up with that until the resurrection, amen, where this mortal will put on immortality. Our salvation is absolutely for sure. Spiritually, it's a done deal, but it's not totally complete yet, amen? It won't be totally complete until the resurrection. But spiritually, how do we understand this? Because spiritually, I am united to Christ. I am sitting with him in heavenly places. That new creature is, behold, all things have become new spiritually. It's all new. It's complete up there. By the way, this might be a verse that caused you some problems at one time. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 18. Now, this is a verse that John Wesley taught holiness doctrine on, but that's not what this is referring to. Verse 18 says this, "We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not." Now, he took that to mean that eventually in this life we could be sinlessly perfect. That will never happen. Yeah, all you got to do is read 1 John chapter 1 to know that's not the case. But we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one touches him not. Now, folks, the devil can never, ever touch my spirit ever again. It can never be touched by sin ever again. It is in Christ. Think of it now. If I'm seated in heavenly places and I could spiritually be defiled, what would happen in heaven? We would defile heaven. Spiritually, we can never be touched by sin again. That's what this means. That's why you and I are safe and secure. God has done a spiritual operation, a circumcision, that one back in Genesis chapter 17 was a type and picture of. This is the true. We have been circumcised from our old sinful flesh Hebrews chapter 4, by that sharp two-edged sword, we have been taken and put into Christ. We are seated in heavenly places. The new creation is totally done. We are complete in Him. Sin can never touch my spirit again. I wish it couldn't touch my body again too, amen? And I wish it couldn't touch my soul again. We're still struggling with that. But spiritually, it is a done deal. Titus 3, verse 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Folks, my spirit is completely washed by that regeneration. There's not a taint of sin in my spirit because of what the Holy Spirit did for me the moment I got saved. By the way, did you notice at the end of that? And the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Do you remember in Genesis, God made Adam out of the dust of the earth, and it said He breathed into him the breath of life, and he became a living soul. He was united to God. He gave him the Holy Spirit. The minute he sinned, he died. He was cut off from God's Spirit. And what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us is He has renewed to us what Adam lost in the garden, the renewing of the Spirit. And now you and I have new life in Christ by virtue of the Holy Spirit and this circumcision that is made without hands, the putting off of that old sinful flesh and the uniting of our spirit with the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope it explains these passages of Scripture because these things are absolute facts, precious promises for us right now. Spiritually, we are sinless. Spiritually, we are seated in heavenly places. Spiritually, we are a new creation. All things have become new. Spiritually, we are complete in Him. One day, our soul and our body will catch up to that, and we will be totally redeemed and there in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, thank You for the patience of these wonderful people, and I hope this has cleared up maybe some misconceptions or helped them understand a little bit better our wonderful salvation and what You have done for us. Thank You for that circumcision made without hands by the precious Holy Spirit through His Word. In Jesus' name, amen. Sorry for going so long.